What's up, everybody? This is Pastor James, and welcome back to the Midweek Bible Study. We are starting Matthew chapter 12 today, and so let's begin reading and see how far we can get. So, at about that time, Jesus was walking through some grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry, so they began breaking off some heads of grain and eating them. But some of the Pharisees saw them doing it and protested, "Look, your disciples are breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath." Jesus said to them, "Haven't you read in scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God, and he and his companions broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests were allowed to eat. And haven't you read in the law of Moses that the priest on duty in the temple may work on the Sabbath? I tell you, there is one here who is even greater than the temple, but you would not have condemned my innocent disciples if you knew the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices, for the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath." Alrighty, let's talk a little bit. So this is a fascinating passage of Scripture because the Sabbath is one of the most important things that God stressed to the people of Israel in the Old Testament when he was giving them the law, also known as the Law of Moses. The Sabbath was a huge deal to the Israelites, and it still is. This is one of the many topics that the religious leaders had placed such heavy burdens on the people by listing all the do's and don'ts of what the people were and were not allowed to do. And they enforced it with great strictness. And as you can see, Jesus and his disciples were out walking through a field. It doesn't make mention that they were ministering or if they had a large crowd following them or what exactly was going on. But for some reason, the religious leaders were watching them in this field and saw them do what they felt like broke the Sabbath law. Does anyone know why they did not condemn them for stealing the grain instead of breaking the Sabbath? Because if you think about this, the disciples were in another person's field that wasn't their own, and they were taking grain from the field and eating it, which would be considered thievery. But in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 25, it says, "And when you enter your neighbor's field of grain, you may pluck the heads of grain with your hand, but you must not harvest it with a sickle." So right here we see in Deuteronomy that this passage, God even thought about what it would be like if someone was passing through a neighbor's field and was hungry. And in part of taking care of one another, part of being a neighbor, of loving your neighbor as yourself, neighbors were permitted to pluck grain from a neighbor's field or any type of crop for that matter with their hand in order to eat and satisfy our need for food in that moment. But it was not permitted for these people to harvest without permission. So they couldn't take tools and harvest more than what they needed. But if they were hungry, they were permitted to come through and eat from that crop. And there's a huge difference between the two. So the leaders know the law like the back of their hand. I mean, they have spent their entire lives learning it. They know that they're not breaking the law by stealing. So they're trying to find a way to condemn Jesus and his disciples. So the leaders focus on the nitpicky stuff that they can twist to make it seem like what they want it to. They can change it to their liking. And the Sabbath had been manipulated in such a way that they used it to control people. It's not a surprise that chapter 11, our chapter we finished last week, ends with Jesus offering an easy yoke with light burdens. And now Matthew reveals in chapter 12 the heavy weight that the religious leaders were loading on the shoulders of the people of Israel. It was a weight that they couldn't even feed themselves if they had not made the right preparations in order to honor the Sabbath, which was incredible. And so I was doing some digging. Let me read some stuff to you. These were some of the laws and just kind of the details that the religious leaders had added in on how you must honor the Sabbath and the things you could and could not do on the Sabbath. So this is one of them. It says you could not carry something in either hand, across your chest, on one shoulder or both shoulders, but you could use the back of your hand, your foot, your elbow, your ear, your hair, or the hem of your shirt, or you could tuck something in your shoe or sandal in order to carry it around on the Sabbath. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that's very nitpicky, and that just seems pretty crazy to me that you can carry something with the back of your hand but not in the palm of your hand. Anyway, this is the second one. On the Sabbath day, people were not allowed to tie a knot. Okay? You could not tie a knot. So if you had a rope, you couldn't tie a knot in it. That was work. Except for a woman who was permitted to tie a knot in her girdle. So what happened was, and this is actually written down in Jewish history, if you had to draw water from a well on the Sabbath, the man could not go out and tie a rope to the bucket in order to draw a well, but his wife could go out and tie her girdle to the rope and then tie the other end of the girdle to the bucket, then draw water and untie the knots from her girdle and not break the Sabbath. Very nitpicky. A third thing was, it was considered a sin to even defend yourself on the Sabbath. And so when the Israelite enemies observed the Israelite men not defending themselves, a lot of times the people attacking Israel would not even worry about attacking them Sunday through Friday because the Sabbath was on Saturday. And they would only attack them on Saturday. And so when Pompey, the Roman general, conquered Jerusalem, he actually attacked them on the Sabbath, and many of the Israelite men refused to defend themselves, and so he was able to easily take the city with very few of the men even trying to defend themselves. So this is some of the crazy, nitpicky things that they put on the Sabbath and tried to make it all these laws and all these rules in order to honor the Lord. So Jesus responds by using examples of people from Scripture, which is great because you have to combat religious differences with Scripture. I mean, it's really the only answer in order to change it. Personal opinion doesn't matter, personal preference, heritage, tradition, none of that stuff matters. Basically, when you have a religious difference, when you have a difference in convictions, you have to look at Scripture in order to bring an answer to this and to provide guidance. And Jesus does this because if it can be proved with Scripture, then it can withstand anything. But if it can't be proved with Scripture, then it has no footing. It has nothing left to stand on. So if Scripture backs it up, then it can stand against any accusations. And Jesus uses passages of Scripture to talk about David eating the showbread of the presence in the temple with his men. And it was a reminder that human needs were more important than technically honoring the Sabbath to every nitpicky rule, because the showbread of the presence of God was not supposed to be eaten by anyone but the priests. But when David was hungry and he was the king of Israel and they come through the temple, they were permitted to eat this bread because they were hungry and they needed it. So human need comes before honoring the law. And it was a reminder that the priest and everyone else in the temple worked on the Sabbath. And in fact, on the Sabbath, the priest and the people in the temple worked twice as much on the Sabbath, because that's when all the offerings were brought in. And so they worked twice as much on the Sabbath. So Jesus is using this illustration to help these people understand there's a reality that human need comes first, and that we have a calling to serve God on the Sabbath and not just make sure that we refrain from doing all this crazy little stuff. And there is a difference, and I want to call this to our attention as you're listening in today. There's a difference between your ox falling in a ditch, something crazy happening and you having to do it on the day that you're celebrating the Sabbath and it should be your day of rest, and stuff that you just have to do. And then there's a difference between you just not preparing the way that you should have, and therefore you're having to pick up the slack and do this duty on the Sabbath when you should be resting. Jesus is bringing attention to the fact that these disciples were in ministry. They were hungry. They were walking with him to the synagogue, and they were hungry, so they broke off grain in order to eat, and there was nothing wrong with that. So Jesus, closing out his argument or his statement to these religious leaders who are questioning him, refers to a passage from the prophet Hosea in chapter 6, verse 6, where he says, "I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings." And Jesus directs these religious leaders to the true intention of the law. God wants a personal relationship, and he wants us to know why we should obey the laws, and he wants us to desire to obey the laws, but he does not want us to enforce them like dictators on others, especially on people that don't understand them or people who even don't even love the Lord. And in times past, that's been one of the biggest mistakes that we've made as Christians and churches and church leaders have made, and in this case, religious leaders for Israel, is they were enforcing stuff on people that they didn't understand it, they didn't necessarily care for it, and it was stuff that was not truly important. And God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to have a personal relationship. God wants us to show mercy. He wants us to show love. That's the most important thing, not to just offer sacrifices. And so God shows us mercy, and therefore God wants us to show mercy. In God's eyes, mercy is more important than obeying the rules and offering sacrifices. That's kind of hard to believe, because a lot of scripture talks about things that we should and shouldn't do. And even though those things are important, the most important thing is loving your neighbor as yourself, loving God, making sure that our needs are met, making sure that we are loving God the way that we should, and in that we should be obedient to the laws, but not compromising our love and mercy shown towards other people. The religious leaders were focused on the wrong things when it came to the law. They wanted to obey the rules, and God wanted them to obey him and have a personal relationship with him. They wanted to make the rules harder. God wanted them to show mercy. They wanted to be great and thought that keeping the rules would make them great in God's eyes. But in reality, Jesus was great, and he was right in front of them, and they could not see the greatness standing right in front of them. And Jesus plainly says that he himself is even over the Sabbath, and they have God standing right in front of them, and they totally miss it. They don't even see it because they're so focused on obeying the rules instead of really doing what God has called everyone to do, and that's have a personal relationship with him and show the same mercy that we have received from him. All right? Let's read verses 9 through 14 together. It says, "Then Jesus went over to the synagogue where he noticed a man with a deformed hand. And the Pharisees asked Jesus, 'Does the law permit a person to work by healing on the Sabbath?' They were hoping he would say yes so they could bring charges against him. And Jesus answered, 'If you had a sheep that fell into a well on the Sabbath, wouldn't you work to pull it out? Of course you would. And how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Yes, the law permits a person to do good on the Sabbath.' Then he said to the man, 'Hold out your hand.' So the man held out his hand, and it was restored just like the other one. Then the Pharisees called a meeting to plot how to kill Jesus." Okay, so a regular message that Matthew sends throughout his gospel is this growing animosity between Jesus and the religious leaders. And it's not necessarily that Jesus' animosity is growing towards them, but it's more like their animosity is growing towards Christ, and Jesus is constantly having to deal with it. But every time they oppose him, their accusations are shut down with Jesus using the law of Moses against them. They're trying to use the law to convict him, but in reality, Jesus takes that same law and uses it to prove that he is right and that they really are misunderstanding the law. And in this moment, Jesus and the religious leaders had just argued over what could and could not be done on the Sabbath. So after Jesus has taken scripture and proven that he and his disciples were within the requirements of the law to break grain from the stalks and eat it, Jesus then goes on to one of their synagogues. So he is present at a synagogue, a place of worship where the religious leaders are in charge. And Jesus regularly went to the synagogues to participate in worship, sacrifice, teaching, healing, and ministering to the people. This was a regular thing he did on the Sabbath. He was there a lot. How convenient that there is a man with a deformed hand on the Sabbath at that same synagogue that Jesus shows up at. And so another controversy is arising, and it's about to be settled between Jesus and the religious leaders, but it's not necessarily truly going to be settled. So let's talk about this.
This time the religious leaders challenged Jesus. Jesus and his disciples had not done anything yet, but rather the religious leaders see this man. They understand that Jesus had already been healing people, that he had the ability, that this was one of the reasons why he had such a great following. So they bring up the issue before Jesus, and they challenge him. They were always hoping that Jesus would slip up so that they could charge him with breaking the law of Moses so that they could discredit him. But Jesus is perfect, and he never broke the law of Moses as long as he was living and walking among his people. He never broke it. He was perfect, and his answers were perfect. And Jesus quickly responds to their question. And he doesn't necessarily answer the question directly, but he defers to an example, an analogy, a parable of some sort, a way to explain it so that people could understand it better. And he says, you would help a sheep on the Sabbath. Like if a sheep fell in the well, you wouldn't let it drown in the well. You would help it because that's the right thing to do. And how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? So yes, the law does permit good to be done on the Sabbath. And so he does not answer, does the law allow you to heal on the Sabbath? But he says the law allows good to be done on the Sabbath. And this seems very simple, but it would have been revolutionary to the people who were watching and listening in this moment. It wasn't about what was being done, but it was about the heart behind what was being done. So understand this today. If Jesus would have healed this man or other people for personal gain or personal profit on the Sabbath, then yes, it would have been wrong. But the fact that Jesus was not doing this for himself or personal gain, but he was healing people for the sake of the people that he was trying to make whole. He was doing it for their benefit. And because he was doing it for their benefit, it was good, and therefore it was permitted, because people being made whole is a good thing. Therefore, we are permitted to do good on the Sabbath. And this is when Jesus told the man to hold out his hand, and then he healed him. And so Jesus in this moment is proving not only that this is good, but he's also proving his authority over the Sabbath, that God would not refuse him the ability to do this, but would allow him to do this on the Sabbath. And so it should be no surprise at this moment, the religious leaders immediately begin plotting how to kill Jesus. All right? They, at this moment, are fed up. He has crossed them. He has argued with them. He did this in spite of them challenging him on it, and they were really trying to control him and to keep him from doing this, but he did it anyway. They understood that what Jesus was doing was beyond them. They had no arguments to win. They couldn't win an argument with him. They had no powers to combat his healing and what he was able to do. And therefore, the only thing they could resort to was to try to get rid of him completely. And this was their new focus. And this would be the focus from here on out. They don't care about doing good. They don't want to do good. They want to gain control for themselves. And they have to get rid of Jesus in order to regain control. All right? So let's read verses 15 through 21 and we'll finish up today. It says, but Jesus knew what they were planning, so he left that area and many people followed him. He healed all the sick among them, but he warned them not to reveal who he was. This fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah concerning him. Look at my servant whom I have chosen. He is my beloved who pleases me. I will put my spirit upon him and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not fight or shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. Finally, he will cause justice to be victorious, and his name will be the hope of all the world. And this is one of the saddest things that we see in Scripture in this moment. You really have to pay attention to understand what's going on. We see the heart and nature of Christ. Jesus does not barge in and demand people to receive him. He presents himself. He is always who he is. He serves, he heals, he ministers, he teaches, and he changes. He changes people, he heals people, he changes situations and circumstances. And if Jesus is not welcomed by these people, He does not stay and force himself on them, but rather he moves on to the next place where he may be accepted by the new people that he's ministering to. Jesus constantly moved in his 3 years of ministry on earth because he was rarely accepted by the whole of an area that he was ministering to, whether it was the religious leaders or the people or different individuals who turned him away. Most people wanted Jesus to leave. And if you look at this, Matthew is referring to Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 5, where Isaiah is prophesying about Jesus, talking about how he will be gentle. He's not going to fight. He's not going to shout. He's not going to raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. He's peaceful. He's loving. He came to do good. That's why he's permitted to do good on the Sabbath, because that's what he came to do. Jesus in the flesh, while he was on earth, he was humble and gentle. His yoke truly was easy and his burden was truly light. And he is the hope of the world, and there will be a day. This is the thing we need to realize. Jesus in the scripture is going to be very different from the Jesus that is going to return on the clouds in his second coming. Yes, he was merciful and kind, and he did not shout. He did not impose himself. But when Jesus returns and reveals himself to the world and calls all people to judgment, he is going to be dressed for war. He will hold everyone accountable. And like it says in verse 20, he will cause justice to be victorious, and everything under him and his eternal rule will be justified and made right. And so that's what we have to remember today, that we serve a God who was kind and loving and merciful when he was in the flesh, when he was ministering to his people. But there will be a day when he returns where he is not going to be so gentle and kind, but every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and give glory to God the Father through it all and acknowledging him. All right? Let me pray for you today and we'll let you go. Jesus, thank you so much for everything you bless us with. I pray that you would speak into our hearts and lives today. Help us to serve you, to glorify you, to honor you. We love you and thank you, and we ask all this in your precious and holy name. Amen. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in for another week. We love you. Hope to see you in person. If not, catch us on the web or our social media venues.